Yep. Good morning. And I would like to also begin with a prayer by St. John Paul II. Only when we meet Jesus can we find release for that anxiety in which beats and pulses all that is more profoundly human. The search for truth, the relentless demand for what is good, the hunger for freedom, the yearning for beauty, the voice of conscience. He alone is the solution for every problem. He alone is the true salvation of the world. He alone is the hope of humanity. My name is Marcia Abernathy, and before I begin, I would like to thank Barbara Temple for her invaluable help with researching this particular Bible story. I also would like to reference commentaries by Bishop Barron, Father Raymond Brown, Jessica Damon, and Mark Driscoll. My commentary is on John 7:53-8:11. Let me read the passage. Then each went to his own house while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. But early in the morning, he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" They said this to test him so they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the eldest. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." At first reading, and with the methods we are using this year to study the Bible, I ask myself, how do I relate to this woman who's committed adultery, who has been unfaithful to her husband? As it is known, she is married because the adultery law in these times was only concerned with the unfaithfulness on the part of a wife, not with extramarital affairs between a husband and an unmarried woman. So Jesus doesn't have the same conversation with this woman as he did with the woman at the well, because he knows she's married. Then I want to know, where's the man? There are two sides to every story, right? Again, in these times, the Mosaic law did demand punishment of the man participating in the act, but the woman's accusers totally ignore that part of the law, so they don't capture him. If we have not been unfaithful in adultery, how are we unfaithful to God in other ways? I'm unfaithful with my fear of growing older, and being alone since my husband died. I'm unfaithful with questioning God when my continuous day after day prayer requests go unanswered, and my doubt creeps in. Is God ever going to answer my prayers? I'm unfaithful when gossiping, similar to throwing stones. I'm unfaithful when judging others, thinking I know how they can improve, how to do what I think they should be doing. I'm unfaithful when doing what I want to do instead of God's will. And the list goes on. So I can relate to this woman's unfaithfulness, but there are other lessons to be learned. Jesus comes from the Mount of Olives, which is east of the temple in Jerusalem. Remember, the glory of God had left the temple over corruption, and the scribes and the Pharisees in this story exemplify the corruption of the temple with the misuse of their authority. They use their laws to hurt and humiliate people. They abuse their power and dominate people. But here comes Jesus, up over the Mount of Olives and back to the temple area. And here also come the scribes and Pharisees with the woman caught in the act of adultery. They cruelly make her stand in the middle of the crowd. They want to embarrass her and use their knowledge of the law to hurt her and also to hurt Jesus. They want to back him into an impossible corner. They're tired of people listening to him and following him. Corruption is on full display here, and this is why God left the temple, but now Jesus has returned. He is the glory of God returning, and we will see how he uses mercy to reach out to the sinful woman. The scribes and Pharisees want Jesus to decide what to do with the woman. She was caught in the act, breaking the seventh commandment, and death by stoning was the penalty. Remember, the law was supposed to be for the man and woman, and both stoned to death. So they knew the crime, they knew the penalty, and they'd already made up their minds. Their sole purpose in asking Jesus his opinion was to trick him. If he sides with the woman, he will be in direct conflict with Mosaic law. And if he sides with the law, then he will be reported to the Roman authorities for committing a crime because the Jewish people were not allowed to administer capital punishment under Roman rule. What Jesus now does is brilliant. He ignores them and their question, does not answer, and instead he calmly bends down, which reminds us of our lowliness, and begins to write with his finger on the ground. He is the Son of God drawing in the dirt, which echoes God the Father, who etched the second set of the Ten Commandments on a stone after Moses broke the first set. He draws their attention away from the poor woman. His finger is writing, their fingers are clutching stones. What he writes has been discussed by scholars forever, but suffice it to say, no one really knows, as it was blown away in the dust, as are our confessed sins. The crowd still demands an answer. This crowd is sinful. Their pride swells up as if the law was theirs instead of God's. The crowd is an angry blob, and each person has stopped listening to the individual voice of God within him and has surrendered his ear to the crazy din of the crowd. And Jesus, using the language of the law in Deuteronomy 17:7, which states the witnesses of a capital crime are to be the first to turn their hand against the guilty person, he finally answers them with a challenge. Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And again, he bends down and writes on the ground, indicating he is finished with the scribes and the Pharisees and with this angry crowd, this crowd making noises of chaos and destruction in the name of the law. All of a sudden, when they hear him ask the question, they become individual people again at the sound of his voice and begin peeling away from the crowd one by one. Jesus has forced each accuser to examine his own conscience, to hold himself accountable. And as he walks away, he is deep in thought about his own sinfulness. They all may be technically qualified to throw stones, but they are definitely not morally qualified. The elders leave first, setting an example for the rest of the crowd. And until Jesus knows it is just the woman and him, only then does he straighten up and speak to the woman. Speaking to a woman who is a sinner and in public, very unacceptable by the law. She realizes his question has dispersed the crowd, and she now has no one to fear. He offers her his mercy, and this mercy washes away her sin. When we don't know the mercy of Jesus, we are doomed to repeat our sins. Judgment and punishment have their proper places to maintain order, security, safety, teach needed lessons, but punishment for the sake of vengeance has no place in love and mercy. If Jesus judged us that way, what hope would we have? His answer to her is pure mercy. He does not condemn or sentence her. He alone knows what's in her heart and tells her to go and sin no more. His acquittal is freely given, and she has a new life beginning. We never hear from or about this woman again, but her story reveals in 12 verses of the Bible how Jesus lovingly handles and overcomes the power of violent emotions, and how to transform vindictiveness into compassion, spitefulness into reason, and pride into forgiveness. When Jesus writes on the ground with his finger, the woman standing before him feels her soul is slipping away in shame, but Jesus restores her dignity. She saw worthlessness, he sees worthiness. We are always fertile ground for Jesus, and Jesus teaches us the following lessons. Judge yourself before you judge anyone else. Put your rock down. Only Jesus is qualified to throw stones. In the end, it will be just you and Jesus. Jesus took her place on the cross to die for her sin. He will pay a debt he does not owe, because this woman, who represents us, owes a debt she cannot pay. Jesus forgives sin. Jesus lifts condemnation. Jesus gives dignity. He calls her woman. Jesus calls us to holiness. Jesus is at the Mount of Olives. In Zechariah 14:4, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. Take these lessons to heart. Listen to what Jesus is saying to you. What does he want you to do? Go to Jesus. Ask him. And as Saint Mother Teresa says, be a pencil in the hand of God.